The coronavirus pandemic has turned life as we know it upside down.
We're in the United States of America, and you think to yourself, how in the hell did we let this happen?
How are our communities, our jobs, and our daily lives changing? And where do we go from here?
We've spent billions of dollars hunting down terrorist cells. We don't do that with pandemics. That's the wrong approach.
America Interrupted, a new original podcast series from the PBS NewsHour, available wherever you get your podcasts.
The United States enters this first weekend in June still reeling with outrage over the killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis. But there is also news of economic recovery, with more than 2 million jobs added back to the workforce last month. The president melded the two today and quickly drew criticism for it. Stephanie Tsai begins our coverage.
Hopefully George is looking down right now and saying, this is a great thing that's happening for our country. This is a great day for him. It's a great day for everybody.
President Trump invoked the memory of George Floyd this morning as he hailed the May jobs report, calling it the greatest thing that can happen for race relations, even though unemployment rates for minorities actually went up. In Delaware, a short time later, the presumptive Democratic nominee for president, former Vice President Joe Biden, condemned Mr. Trump's remarks.
For the president to try to put any other words in the mouths of George Floyd, I frankly think is despicable.
The president's appearance came in the Rose Garden at a White House now behind barricades, but he only briefly addressed the nationwide protests against police violence on Black Americans.
It'll all work out. Some governors may need a little help yet, but I think for the most part, they're in good shape. We have fantastic military. We have fantastic National Guard. National Guard was barely used. You have to dominate the streets. You can't let what's happening happen.
But on one street near the White House, the protesters' cause now dominates. After a week defined by unrest and crackdowns from the police and National Guard, today, a major street declared Black Lives Matter in bright yellow paint. D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser officially renamed the block Black Lives Matter Plaza.
What we have to say to the young Black youth is that they matter, we care about them, and we hear them, and we're listening to them, and we're trying to make all of our systems, starting right here in Washington, D.C., more fair.
But the local Black Lives Matter chapter called the action, quote, a performative distraction from real policy, and instead demanded tangible reforms.
Hands up! Don't shoot!
Hands up!
Don't shoot!
Last night, peaceful demonstrators weathered D.C. thunderstorms at the 8-foot fence now circling the perimeter of the People's House. It was one of many protests around the country free of violence. But in Buffalo, New York, another viral video of police violence. Local news cameras captured the moment an officer pushed 75-year-old Martin Gugino to the ground, leaving blood dripping from a head wound. The officers had claimed the man tripped. They have since been suspended. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo said he was alarmed.
It disturbs your basic sense of decency and humanity. Why? Why was that necessary? Where was the threat? Older gentleman, where was the threat?
It was one of a growing number of incidents of police violence being reported, including Tuesday in Los Angeles, where police smashed a Black man's car windows and dragged him onto the ground. In New York City, last night, police were more restrained than the night before, but eventually they did arrest demonstrators for breaking the 8 o'clock curfew. Mayor Bill de Blasio defended the enforcement actions.
Sometimes it's because there's a lot more there than meets the eye. And when you're after curfew, you have a threat of violence, you have evidence of violence being intended, and people have been asked to disperse. I want to remind you that those are real conditions that have to be understood.
Meanwhile, the National Football League is under increasing pressure. 4 years after the San Francisco 49ers' Colin Kaepernick started his own protest by taking a knee during the national anthem. He has not played in the league since. In Florida today, the Jacksonville Jaguars marched in solidarity.
What if I was George Floyd?
And more than a dozen NFL players released a Stronger Together video on social media.
On behalf of the National Football League,
this is what we
the players
would like to hear you state.
We, the National Football League,
condemn racism and the systematic oppression of black people.
Those demands continue today and into this evening in cities across the country, from Kansas City.
This is people against racism and injustice.
To Dallas, where the police department organized a Blue for Black Lives Matter march. And in Minneapolis today, where police killed George Floyd. The city agreed to ban all police chokeholds and require any bystanding officers to intervene in violations. And California Governor Gavin Newsom also announced an end to pinning suspects by the neck. Support from unexpected corners and steps toward reform. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Stephanie Tsai.